Welcome to the Transforming Aging Summit 2015, where conscious aging experts are gathering to shift the paradigm of aging to one of vast potential infused with vitality, passion, purpose, continual growth, and service, all to help you make your later years your best years. We appreciate you sharing this information with your friends and family. And now, founder and director of the Center for Conscious Eldering, and organizer of the Conscious Aging Alliance, and author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, your host, Ron Pevney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third day of the Transforming Aging Summit, featuring leaders whose wisdom and work are transforming the face of aging in today's world. I'm Ron Pevney. I'm privileged to be your host for this summit, and so we're so delighted that you're joining us. So thank you for being with us today. Before I introduce our guests for this session, I'd like to briefly offer a few reminders. First, each morning of the summit and on Friday morning, the Shift Network sends you an email with information about the summit that day. And toward the end of that email message, you'll find a short summary of key points made by each presenter in the previous day's interviews. I've been getting some emails from people saying, well, how do I access those? We call them recaps. Well, go to the end of the email you receive each day and you will find them. You know, our presenters are sharing a vast amount of valuable information in a short time. And I'm here conducting the interviews and paying careful attention, but I know that I can't take all this richness in and remember it. And so I'm looking forward to being able to listen to these interviews or to read transcripts of them in the days and weeks ahead. And this is how I learn best and really integrate the richness of material. And so if you're like me and you'd like to revisit what our presenters share, I encourage you to consider purchasing the Summit Upgrade Package. And information on how to do so can be found at transformingagingsummit.com/upgrade. transformingagingsummit.com/upgrade. But be aware that the deadline for receiving a significant discount on this package is the end of tomorrow, Friday, March the 6th. And lastly, if you're listening to the summit on the web and you have questions for our guests as you listen to this interview or any of the interviews today, type them into the question box on your screen and we may be able to address some of them. So now I'm delighted to introduce our guests for this session, Jan Hively and Moira Allen. And the major theme for this session is the Pass It On Network, a global exchange for positive aging. So Jan and Moira, we're honored to have you joining us today. And many people here in the U.S. are not aware that an empowering vision for aging is emerging throughout the world. And many of the listeners to this summit don't live in the U.S. So your work focuses on creating sharing opportunities among transforming aging pioneers globally. And so I'm sure that many of us are eager to hear what you've been learning through your networking. And so thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron. Happy to be here, or privileged.
Oh, I'm glad that you are. I'm glad that you are. I guess the first thing I'd like to ask each of you to respond in turn. Maybe, Jan, you can go first. You've each had incredible journeys getting to where you are today, creating a global exchange for positive aging, many adventures along the way. And Jan, would you start by telling us what have been a few of the highs and lows? Tell us a bit about your journey to this point.
Fine. Well, I'm going to be including Moira in telling that story.
Okay.
Moira, why don't you start with 2007 when we met?
That's right. That was through the very, very first Positive Aging Conference that was held in St. Petersburg in Florida. And how come I landed up there, as I'm a South African, born South African and living in France. And I landed up there because at age 60, I started to think about my future, what was I going to do with the future. And I went onto the internet and came across the Too Young to Retire site. And I'm quite impulsive, so there was a telephone number, and I picked it up, phoned, and got straight through to Howard Stern. And Howard had a fantastic approach. This was to talk about the future and how we could, in fact, envision another kind of future after retirement. And he was running a very short course, six-week telecourse. And that's how I got involved with the American positive aging movement. I went through that to the first conference where I met Jan. And Jan, I think you can pick it up from there.
Well, I was so happy to meet Moira. She came up to me after a workshop I've given on meaningful work and said, my life has been changed, and if you ever come to Paris, please come and see me. And, of course, that's a wonderful invitation, especially when, like Moira, you live in the top floor of a building where you have a terrace on one side looking out at Les Invalides, and on the other side, looking out at the Eiffel Tower. You can see how anyone would take advantage of that. So next, when I was attending a conference on International Association of Gerontology and Geriatrics, I stayed with Moira, and during that course of that five-day conference, I came home each day discouraged by the fact that there were all of the academics, there were 6,000 of them there, were talking about their specific research proposals and how they were doing this and that for and with, but primarily for or to older adults. There were a few of us there at the conference who were older adults ourselves, thinking about, okay, so can we talk about how we're feeling about this and what we're doing? But there really was no vehicle for that. Moira then picked up on something that she'd heard me say in Florida. Remember, Moira?
Absolutely. That was that came from the Hopi elder who wrote a poem about the future. And it might be an idea, Jan, if we were to read that to everybody. What do you think?
It would be great, because this is what we've been working with ever since. We think that what this Hopi elder said and what I'd mentioned in that 2007 conference, which is that we are the ones we've been waiting for, was so significant. And if you don't mind, Ron, we're just going to take the time to read this brief poem, because it says everything that we want to say through our work.
I think that'd be wonderful, so please do.
I'll start the first stanza, Moira, and then you pick up. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden.
It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other, and do not look outside yourself for the leader.
This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It's so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination.
The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above the water, see who is in there with you, and celebrate.
At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For when we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now is done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. So that was the spirit with which then Moira and I sat down, assisted by a third party who was there for the conference, one of our liaisons, Gulnara Minagaliva from Moscow. And we worked out what our goals were and what our values were and what we must do in order to create a We Are the Ones network That's what our network would have been called, except that there are two or three similar names already, domains already taken as far as website names were concerned. But really, we started on our journey there. And when we talk about highlights, Moira, I think that one of them certainly was that very quickly we had the opportunity to work in Europe talking with people about what active aging meant to them. Tell us, why don't you tell about the work of 2012, up through 2012?
The year 2012 was the year for active aging throughout the European Union, 27 different countries. And Jan and I worked with Pat Munro from the World Cafe Europe on a project which was absolutely fascinating. We did six World Cafe events in six different capitals, and each one had its own theme. And there we really came into direct contact with a strong desire of seniors to stand up and be counted and to contribute and to be appreciated. And the message was the same, whether we were in Italy, whether we were in England, in Germany, or in Poland. And this was just a most a really wonderful experience.
So we had the opportunity then in February of 2013, knowing that we wanted to follow through on the spirit of participation that we felt in these six World Cafes, what next? Both of us went to the Encore Summit that was or Encore Conference that was sponsored by Mark Friedman's group, which was just changing from Civic Ventures to becoming Encore.org. At the San Francisco conference, people were invited to stand up and give up their big idea. We had the opportunity to present the big idea of the Pass It On Network. That was in February of 2013. And in November, 2013, the next big high was in Paris, where we launched the website, passitonnetwork.org. You want to just mention a bit about that, Moira?
Well, that was also very exciting. We had our local people all together. Jan was there to present, and it was the first time that we'd had an international radio interview with Radio France Internationale. Interviewed us on the whole event, and it was an important launch pad for us.
We went from there, I think, to our next major high, which some of you on the phone will certainly remember, because in February 2014, just a year ago, we were at a conference in the Positive Aging Conference in Sarasota, Florida, and Moira and I had an opportunity then to talk about Pass It On Network with some of our program coordinators, country liaisons, in a workshop. And we also had the opportunity to lead a World Cafe there, talking about how people wanted to, what they wanted to do about positive aging when they got back home. So in two different directions there, I think that we managed to strengthen outreach. Would you want to just mention, Moira, about the World Cafe? What was the theme that came out of that?
What was so exciting about that was the energy that was present in the room. The questions were all about what ifs, and the what ifs were just amazing. And one of the strongest trends that came out of that was the desire for everybody to work in an intergenerational fashion. We're all on the same route. We're all on the same life course. Some of us are just further advanced down the way. Nobody wants to be put in a special group and kept in their group. And that was such a strong theme that came out of that World Cafe at the Positive Aging Conference.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, Sorry. Dan and Moira, I'd like to ask you something. This I've been wondering about for a long time, and I'd like to hear how you understand this with your experiences in Europe, and, you know, you talked about the year for active aging. You know, many of us here in North America know little about what's happening globally to help transform aging. In fact, many of us know little about what's happening globally, period, but that's a different thing. But here in the U.S., we have these international positive aging conferences like you're speaking of. We have a great number of books and workshops on positive and conscious aging, all kinds of organizations working to shift the vision of aging. And now, you know, we have the First Shift Network Summit on aging. And I'm wondering, is this paradigm change gathering the same kind of momentum in Europe, for instance, and other parts of the world that it is in the U.S.? Is it as far along, or is it just maybe kind of starting there and they're not as far along as we are?
I'll generalize, Moira, and you take it from there. But to generalize, we can say that the need is everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I have had consultation, for example, in China, just huge, overwhelming need, 330 million new people going to be by 2030, going to be over the age of 65, many of whom, thanks to the one-child policy, the older adults are out in rural villages where there is no supportive social security system, with a culture that says we depend upon our children for our sustenance. But where are the children? The child is in a city, long, often far away from where the older adults are. What is going to happen there? And same thing in Estonia, for example. We have one of our liaisons who. People in desperate economic need. When we talked with our country liaisons around the world last in January's Skype call, we heard about economic need, shortage as far as pension plans and so forth. And of course, there in Europe, in France, for example, although they still have a secure pension system, they know that the time is coming when it's going to fall apart because you can't have average age of retirement at 60. A few young people, a birth rate which is lower than replacement birth rate, total government care for both the pension and medical care, it just doesn't work. So we know that there's this ominous future coming up. The question is how the way that we word it is everywhere. The time is ripe for elders to step up and change the culture of aging worldwide, guiding the shift from a needs-based consumer society to a collaborative society, an intergenerational society in which people throughout life have responsibility to share their strengths. To help themselves, to help each other, and to help the everyone, their communities, and that's basic to what we're doing here with the network. But there are places in the world where we find definite advancement. I think the UK, for example, is just ahead of the game in relationship, for example, to support for older workers. Australia has a wonderful batch of programs, how-to programs with older adults and young people working together in technology learning. Moira, perhaps, can you help me take it from there as far as this worldwide perspective is concerned?
I think that that you put your finger on it when you said that there's so many different needs all around the world. For example, I can talk for 3 minutes about my home country, South Africa. There, the need is just enormous in terms of money, of financing. Somebody said to me the other day, with the independence of South Africa in 1994, that means that people who are now coming into retirement, the black people who are coming into retirement, haven't had a whole career to build up the retirement benefits that they would have had had they been in the system a lot earlier. So that is a very strong feature in the South African sense, and also there's a huge unemployment and tremendous needs in every single field, from housing to education. So that definitely colours the climate there, and there is an urgency. There's a need for people to do things and to keep an income coming in. As far as Europe is concerned, I think if I may say, wealthier European countries, there has up until now been a little bit of complacency, in the sense that people do have their own system, you know, an excellent system, social security system. But as Jan pointed out, the horizon of that is not so clear, and people are realizing that that things are going to have to change.
Well, let me ask you, ladies.
It's very different all over the place.
Yeah, ladies are certainly focusing very much on a need around the world for some kind of economic security for people as they age. And I'm also wondering, you know, in this summit, many of our presenters are focused not specifically on economic security, but on those other dimensions of positive aging. You know, people after retirement age seeking a sense of purpose and meaning and being of service to the community, and, you know, all those other dimensions in addition to the economic needs. And I guess I'm wondering, are you finding that in Europe and other parts of the world there is the same interest we have here in North America in what's going to produce purpose and meaning, and how can I be of service as I age, you know, beyond having the economic security that we all need?
Maura, you go first.
Yes, I'd love to talk for a few minutes about an association in France that I just love, and in fact it's an association that Richard Adler of the Institute for the Future loves as well. This association is a young association started by elderly people. It's called Old Up in French as well. I mean, they've used that, and they say this is an association of people who are no longer very young, but yet they are not very old. And what is absolutely fascinating about this association is that they are determined to turn the whole question of a longer lifetime into meaning. How do you make longer life expectancy meaningful and useful beyond the ages? And what's so interesting about this association is that it was created 7 years ago by a group of women who were about 73 to 76 at that point in time. So now we go 7 years down the line, and that association has grown not only in numbers but also in depth. And I mean the following: that as the association's membership gets older, so their needs change. And for example, one of the very innovative things that they have done is that they've created a group for which I just love the name. They're called the Octo Plus, the over 80s. And this group gets together on a regular basis to discuss exactly what you said, Ron. You know, what is the meaning of life? What are we doing here? How do we continue to be meaningful in our daily lives? And their president, Marie-Françoise Fuchs, who's a retired medical doctor, is an absolutely fantastic visionary. And her latest feat, because it really is a feat, is to propose a full-day seminar in one of France's most prestigious organizations, which is the Economic, Social, and Environmental Council, which is a top government body to facilitate interaction between these different areas. And she's got this enormous hall that seats something like 500 people. And she's going to have a full day on this whole question of the meaning of seniors. You know, what is an elderly person today? And they very lightheartedly say they are apprentice centenarians. So So this whole conference is going to be taking place, but the point of it is to discover and to talk about the meaning.
You know, it occurs to me, ladies.
Where is the meaning?
Yeah. Yeah, it occurs to me that you talk about this full-day seminar. Given that you ladies are the consummate networkers, I wonder if you've considered doing something like offering a European telesummit, sort of analogous to this wonderful Shift Summit, in which you bring together many of the real leaders who are helping to support positive aging in Europe. That might reach a lot more people than just a one-day summit or a one-day conference.
What a wonderful idea.
What we have thought about, Ron, and I think that's an excellent idea, and we would love the help of the Shift Network in making that happen, because clearly you have the routine down pat, and that works. We also, though, have been thinking about a World Cafe that will be virtual and international, and we're working on that with the founder of World Cafes, Juanita Brown, who has a staff person who is specializing with Fielding University, Graduate University in California, Amy Lenzo, who's working specifically on virtual World Cafes. As I listened to some of these presenters the last 2 days, I've been thinking about what questions we could ask in our virtual World Cafe that we're thinking about for later this spring. Rick Moody, what will you leave behind? What are the values, qualities, and strengths? With Wendy Lesbatter, what's getting better? What have you feared? How can you push through that fear? Or one that we used preparing for the last White House Conference on Aging with Susan Perlstein and the National Center for Creative Aging was to invite people to say, what gives you joy? What makes you come alive? The main thing is to have a question in which people can talk with each other about their personal experience in a way that really deals with the whole of living. Our goal with the We Are the Ones Network or the Pass It On Network is really to think in a very holistic manner about making sure that we are fully aware of what is coming down the pike, the environmental and economic shift that's occurring, but also that we're fully aware about all of those dimensions of wellness that we must exercise in order to be at our best. Physical exercise, mental exercise, social, emotional, vocational, and spiritual exercise, all of those dimensions we must think about. When we started this network, we thought about how can we spread innovative programs that are free or low cost so that any older adult can grab hold and say, this looks like something that I'd be interested in. We could get this started right where I am, right here. And when we did that, we looked at three different categories of programming, and as you can see on the website, we thought about mutual support, which is building supportive community networks. How do we share our strengths? We always focus on strengths, assets. What are our assets? How can we share those strengths with each other? And if you'll permit us a little later in the program maybe to go over just a couple of programs in each of these three categories. The second one was to create meaningful pathways to meaningful work, because meaningful work is just not a matter of paid or unpaid. It's a matter of, what makes us thrive. when we are doing something that we think has meaning for others and for ourselves, then when we are using our strengths in a productive manner, then we are more healthy, we are more resilient. But also, we need to be able to use that those pathways to help each other in our communities. And finally, the third category is in lifelong learning. And we have a broad potpourri of programs there, but again, we're really focusing on all of the dimensions of wellness.
So let me ask you to make sure I understand how the Pass It On Network is structured. You focus on these three categories that you just shared. Are you kind of like a clearinghouse for information about all of these kind of things, or do organizations and individuals become members? And then are members, then their information can be shared? What are the mechanics of how this network works?
Well, I'm going to turn it over to Moira in a second, but I just want to comment on the fact that's why we call ourselves an exchange. We're really talking about everyone who comes to our website. Moira calls them up and subscribes to for our newsletter or whatever. Moira sends them an email, tries to set up a phone call. She has the luxury of having a phone through which can call anywhere in the world for any amount of time, which is perhaps most important tool for the success of our network is Moira's capacity to talk to anybody there, because she's the world's best communicator. But that personal contact, people are very eager to talk with each other about what's going on with them and others across international boundaries. So it's people talking to people here. And everyone who is a country liaison for us can speak English along with their own native language and often a number of others. But everything that we do is basically bilingual. And our website is multilingual, as you can see. It uses Google Translate, which is not the best translation service in the world, but it tends to work. So that is the what we're doing here is people to people, but it's also then sharing information about programs that we know of or that we've started, innovative programs that are free or low cost. That people can get going by themselves. Moira, I'm going to quit for a bit here.
Yeah, what would you add to that, Moira?
Well, no, I think that's basically the nuts and bolts. We have advisors, and then we have our country liaisons. For example, from one side of the world in Australia to the other side of the world, Argentina, South Africa, India, Russia, all over Europe. We're very privileged to be working with an organization called URAG, which is the oldest federation of senior associations in Europe. They have 165 different organizations represented in 33 different countries, and we're progressively getting in touch with all these associations. I'm going to Berlin, for example, at the end of April to a council meeting, and we'll be meeting a whole lot of them. And it's a question of building the relationship between everybody, and there is such interest and such excitement to find out what is going on in another country. And it's not a question of following exactly what's happening in another country, but being stimulated by the ideas and emulating and asking for advice and exchanging, and it really is very enriching. I personally find it it's absolutely I'm so passionate about it. For example, in the morning I could be speaking to Australia, and then I could be speaking to Russia, and then I can have a three-way conversation between somebody in the Czech Republic and in Argentina. And we've got a very nice person up in Iceland. So the stimulating thing is that this is a phenomenon, and an absolute worldwide phenomenon, and everybody's working towards it, and everybody's working towards making a new paradigm as we are today, and as the Shift Network has been doing right now for the last 3 days. We are wanting a new story, and the more you work in this, the more you realize, and as we've listened to everybody on this summit, is that action is in fact the petrol, the essence that is required to get this new story off the ground. If each one of us acts and claims our space and talks our story, and we will make that paradigm change, because as we've said, we are the ones. Nobody's going to do it for us, and we can't sit back and wait to be invited. So we just find out all over the world what is going on, and then tell people about these different programs. And there is no charge. It is a service that's offered on the site.
And I do want to make
Seems like the Pass It On Network has such incredible potential for what can lie ahead. You've started something that can make such a huge, huge difference. And I think beyond the Pass It On Network, I would imagine that what you're doing can serve as a model that in various other ways can be replicated around the world, so that whether it's through the Pass It On Network or through some other model that will emerge, anybody who wants to find support and information and collaboration in how to make real a new vision of aging can find that. And I think that is so wonderful what you're doing. And let me, we're running real short on time, but I'd like to ask you, as you see all these wonderful possibilities you're speaking of, I think we all know that there's a huge amount of resistance. I mean, there's an old paradigm all over the world that of aging that certainly does not empower people and that is not sustainable for a lot of reasons. What's the biggest resistance? What stands in the way of positive aging really becoming the dominant paradigm?
I would like to mention two things, one of them is the reason, I think, why we're here, and that is because if you put decisions about aging in the hands of professionals, of agencies, what you're going to deal with is the system that's there to meet the needs of primarily frail elderly people. It's a needs-based. It has to be. Those are the services that are provided by professional service providers, by the government, by public agencies, etc. But until we can have a complementary system that is strengths-based, asset-based, building on the strengths of older adults themselves, you're not going to have a holistic perspective of aging. And it's older adults themselves who can speak for themselves and are the role models who walk the talk, which has been ably described by speakers in the last couple days, there's no substitute for us being role models and doing it ourselves. As Meg Newhouse talked about, is the legacy, the imprint that you leave for the future. So that's number one point. A number two point is, so many of our programs, particularly in the U.S., that do talk about, for example, active aging, are focused on boomers. I think that it's very important to know that we focus on three generations of old through the Pass It On Network. That's what there is. There's 50 to 70-year-old boomers. There's the 70 to 90-year-old so-called silent generation. I'm 83, and I'm anything but silent. Then World War II generation, 90 and up. And when you think about up, you know, here on Cape Cod where I live, I read the obituaries every day, And like other people, I think, oh my gosh, isn't it wonderful how long people live if they live on Cape Cod? There are so many of these people who are 101 or 103. And of course, it suddenly it dawned on me, because I am, after all, a planner and demographer, that actually people are thinking that in most everywhere in the country and around the world, because people are living, many, many more people are living to be over 100. And that is, so the World War II generation, the greatest generation, is still hanging in there. The thing about it is that boomers tend to think about, okay, we'll be young longer. We've added 20 years to our active, healthy life, but there's still a cliff, and I'm going to drop off into the period of disability and deficit. Well, what we're here to do is to make sure that the dialogue, the intergenerational dialogue, lets people know that we're talking about, like Old Up does, people 75 to 90 plus years old. We're talking about older adults having meaningful work, paid or unpaid, through the last breath, whatever that age is. And that's very important, to appreciate the power of the wisdom and creativity coming together in the practical intelligence of later life and life review and reminiscence, all those things that make life so rich in the 80s and 90s. So it's those two things that we need to get through. One of them is appreciating old all the way through to the last breath, and number two is listening to the people who can talk about their strengths and build on them.
Well, what important reminders. Thank you so very much for that. Ladies, we are just about out of time in this interview. For those people, for those listeners who are interested in learning more about the Pass It On Network, perhaps becoming actively involved, receiving your newsletter, what's the best way for people to contact you and to set that in motion?
Well, that's very, very simple. If they could just consult our website, the address is www.passitonnetwork, all together, so it makes one long word, .org. And the easiest way is to subscribe to our newsletter. As soon as I get that notification, I'll send the person, the people, an email and with an offer for a telephone interview. And I so enjoy these interviews. please subscribe to our newsletter, and we'll be in touch with you and see how you can become engaged in this absolutely exciting adventure of creating a whole new paradigm for what aging is about. And just a final quick thing is that I was listening to the Nobel Dialogue Week on aging, and the one idea that that really stuck with me was that more and more the scientists are saying, stop thinking about chronological age and think about functional age. And I think that's a very, very important and interesting concept.
I think so, too. Hey, a couple quick things. One of our listeners, Jurgen, says, will it be possible to include the poem, beautiful poem on We Are the Ones, in the summary that we send out of this interview? And my response to that is that, no, it's too long to include in the summary, but I believe it's the case that if you just Google We Are the Ones, you can probably in several different places find that beautiful Hopi poem. Is that
well,
true,
why
ladies?
They can find it on... why don't you tell them where to find it on the website?
They can find it on the website. It's at the bottom of the first page, the home page.
Oh. Okay, great. And then Sarah asks, can you tape that one-day seminar in France that you spoke of and somehow broadcast it in real time or later? That's a great question. Would it be possible to somehow put that or put highlights of it on your website after it happens?
I would really like to do that. It's all in French, huh?
Well, you better bone up on your French so you can translate.
But it is going to be an extremely interesting thing. And what we certainly will put up on our site is a summary of it and the subjects that are being treated. Because it really is, I don't know that there is another conference throughout the world that has been organized by 80-year-olds to discuss their own situation. I really think it is a unique conference, and this is going to be happening on the 16th of October in Paris in this fantastic government hall.
Well, if you place information about all these conferences on your website, I'm sure that many of our listeners and I are going to be eager to learn more about them. Moira and Jan, thank you so very much. This has been an incredibly valuable and rich and informative conversation. You're doing beautiful work, and I wish you and all the work of the Pass It On Network all the success in the world. So thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Very, very much. Thank you.
And to all of you who are listening, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it, and we invite you to be sure to join us for the next session in the Transforming Aging Summit. Until then, be well.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Transforming Aging Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. For more information about joining our global community dedicated to helping people awaken to their divine humanity and take inspired action, visit www.theshiftnetwork.com. To learn more about the Amazing Aging Package, which is the online collection of top experts on conscious aging, or to add all of these interviews to your personal library, visit www.transformingagingsummit.com/upgrade. Thank you for sharing this summit with your friends and family. We appreciate your dedicated support.